Hello, friends. Uncle Marv here with another episode of the IT Business Podcast, the show for IT professionals where we talk shit. Now, we try to help each other out by providing product stories and tips to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. This is the Wednesday live show presented by NetAlly. It is going to be a fantastic show. I do believe I've got my good friends Paco and Rick sitting in the green room. We're about ready to kick it off. I've got no real major announcements except to say that if you're with AT&T, you better check your stuff because 70 million AT&T customers got some crap leaked online. So an archive that allegedly contains information on 73 million AT&T customers has leaked onto the open internet. As of Sunday, a user posted the 5-gig archive in a hacking forum. So check your stuff. Now, let's get on to the show, and I am not going to waste any time because we might run out of time with these two. I'm going to be bringing to the stage my good friends, Paco LeBron and Rick Smith from MSP Unplugged. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Oh, you know what I like to say, Uncle Marv, better than good, better than most.
All right. And Rick, what was the little peace out?
Nah, but doing good, doing good. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Glad to have you guys here. Paco, by the way, is sporting the logo of one of our supporting show partners here, Super Ops. Supercharge your operations and supercharge your business. They are also sponsors of the Florida Man segment that it'll be interesting to see what we come up with tonight. And, of course, our live show is sponsored by Computers Done Right, managed services in Venice, Florida, your go-to destination for all your computer needs. So looks like we got a packed house. We've even got people in the chat throwing out let's see what we got here. Mr. Keith Nelson, my pro tip of the day, Uncle Marv's podcast goes well with a smoked whiskey and fine cigar. All right. Thank you much, sir. And who else in the chat there? There's Giles. Ed Roberts couldn't agree more. I'm working on the last of this Weller Preserve, by the way. I'm getting on the bourbon kick. The wife pointed out to me just before I came down to the office, she's got one of those HGTV rental shows on. And she said, like, three of the last four or five houses, they are building display cases for the bourbon in these houses. So,
wow.
I'm like, we're not doing that. So, guys, we are here to talk about community. But before we do that, of course, I want to ask about you. You both are not only leaders in the community, but you're doing your own thing with the MSP. So let me ask how that's going. And let's start with going top to bottom, left to right. My good friend Paco, how are things with Prodigy Techs?
Things are good. We made some significant changes in the beginning of the year. So we are expanding our help desk operation. So we're building that out here in Venezuela. So we're actually doing that for ourselves and along with some updated operational efficiencies, as we said. But really kind of the big two changes, or at least kind of what's front of mind for us, is cloud and AI, specifically Copilot. And depending on how all these SKUs and things that Microsoft comes out with, that's kind of what we're going to be leaning in here for the next probably 10 to going on 16 months. And then cloud, where if we're going to really embrace that cloud PC, or with the Windows 10 end of life happening next October. So those are kind of the two forefronts, and just making sure that what we have currently is what should we have as far as our stack and operational stuff. But that's what we got here. So we'll be doing some hiring here soon. We got some significant changes possibly happening soon, and But yeah, that's kind of where we're at, kind of looking at the next wave to see what's going on for managed services and MSPs in my area.
All right. So let me ask the question in case people are wondering, what does it mean to be building out help desk services in Venezuela? I mean, are you actually just, you know, taking over a little office there, throwing a bunch of people in, doing a help desk service? Are you renting out part of a data center? What does that actually mean?
Sure. So we're partnering with a hiring agency that's out down there. There's a shared office room that we're renting out with our team. So right now we have two. The plan is to hire two more with a dispatcher to kind of have that camaraderie. So, you know, for those that don't know, my MSP has always been remote and international since we expanded back in 2020 when it was just myself. And so with that, we've realized that a lot of nuances of communication, you know, the day-to-day, hey, what's going on, has been missed. And so with my two technicians right now, we did have to separate with one, but added a new one. They've now have built a great rapport being in the same city and being able to really dive into not only knowledge sharing, but also being able to help those as well. And then leveraging like Copilot for the language dialects when communicating to A, our clients via tickets, or B, communicating to internally helps with that collaboration. But yeah, basically we're working with a hiring agency over there. They are our assets, meaning they work for us. They're dedicated to us. They're not shared with any other MSP or any other outfit. Our equipment, our gear. And yeah, that's how we're building that out. John Dubinsky had a really long and stretch of training and helping structure a lot of that before his departure. And so now we're kind of picking up that ball of what he has left, all the real great foundation, and expanding on that as we move forward.
All right. Far cry from where we were many years ago when coming out of that CompTIA conference and unconventions and early days. Yep. Big things, big things. All right, Rick, Renactus Technology. What's happening over in Jersey?
Ain't doing nothing Paco's doing. We ain't that big. No, we're working. We're trying to expand it. The key factors this year is proficiency and efficiency. So that is really what the focus is this year. trying to improve the processes, be more efficient, so that we can take on that next level. We're at that cusp where we're ready to move to the next level, but we're really need just to make sure we can handle what's coming. So that is where we are. That's really the goal this year. I'm using the same company, Paco, that you're using for
same hiring agency. Yeah.
Same hiring agency. Okay. For additional help, but I'm just moving at a slower pace than Paco is. But I'm really one, you know, the focus this year, I know he's on me about it. Come on, man. Come on.
No, I just want to make sure that you're not lying to these people that I'm bigger than what you say I am. There's no difference in what any of us are doing here.
I'm just saying, well, you know, we're all in stages, right? So
I'm at the same stage as you, ahead. My friend.
Yeah, but you might hit that little number before any of us.
Yeah, right. We'll see. But you know, again, it's that constant struggle. It's just that constant goal, just take it one step at a time.
You don't have to be. No, I'm not. That'll be the inside joke for those who attended TechCon last year.
Uh huh. But you know that's just where I'm at. That's where I'm. Just trying to make it happen, keep it going. And as everybody who a lot of people who know me knows, I don't know if I broadcast this, but come a couple of years from now, I want to be on a plane somewhere on my birthday, 6.5 years from now on my birthday, taking a month-long vacation.
Somewhere on a beach?
Yes. And when I come, well, I don't know about a beach. I'm not a beach guy. But somewhere relaxing, and when I come back, I will no longer be the CEO of Renactus Technology. I'll either be a consultant or a guy that just collects a little bit of money from it. But at some point, I'm going to, you know, not no time soon. So, you know.
So you might want to take a listen to episode 613 of the IT Business Podcast, where I had Rayanne on talking about exit strategies.
Yeah, it'll be something I think about in the future. But it is something I'm thinking about, but it's something I'll really get serious about in the future. But that's the goal, man. Just to right now grow to that point where we want to be, and then maintain that for a while, and then go spend some time relaxing. Hopefully by then, one of my kids will make me a grandpa and I can do some fun stuff.
All right. And how am I doing down here in Fort Lauderdale? Well, I just may have missed out on a new client opportunity, because when the guy picked up the phone and looked at his caller ID, and as we were talking, he goes, "Yeah, this is a 954 number. Where are you?" And I said, "Well, Fort Lauderdale." They're out of Jupiter, which is about an hour north of us. And basically what he said was, "Well, I'm a little concerned because our current IT guy lives about 5 miles from us. So when we have issues, he's there real quick." And I said, I understand that. So why don't we go ahead and still meet and let me see what that person is doing for you to see if we can at least match the services. And if we can't match them with being on site, specifically me, I have people, I support companies all over the state. So I don't think distance is the issue, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
And also doesn't make sense as well, because like you could always find in your network somebody over there if you needed to get there in the proper time that you wanted as well. So
yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I already have two people in that area.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And if he would just simply have taken the time to, you know, listen, but they don't have to make a decision for another month. So I sent him my data sheet, which is just a list of services, and told him that I would follow back up in a week or so, and we'll see, you know, if they're still interested. Which, to be honest, that's probably one little yellow flag for me. Because I think once I tell him my rates, we'll see how it goes. Rick, while you were chatting there, you're getting some of the elder advice saying we should chat. I have set up my company to afford a new CEO with a complete package. Ooh, salary card perks. There you go. So, see?
Hey.
Look at that.
But I'm not, it's just, I just want to be clear. I'm nowhere near ready to get out yet, because as Paco says, I'm too much in the business. Like, you know me.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
So just start planning. And again, listen to episode 613 with Rayanne Buccianico. She gives you the blueprint.
Okay.
Rayanne is the real deal.
That's right.
Hold on. Is that? Yeah, that's what I was listening to earlier today.
Really? And you didn't retain it?
No, I started it and kept getting interrupted, so I never got to finish.
Okay. All right.
Story of Rick's life.
Yeah, basically. Basically.
All right. So
I'm sorry. That was not right. I was doing 612.
That's okay.
Yeah, 612. You said 613.
She's on twice, man.
No, I was doing 612 then.
It's all right. 612 is a good place to start. Get your books in line. Get your chart of accounts. Understand P&L, cash flow. Yeah. And then go to 613 and start planning now for your exit strategy.
That's true, yeah. Then I could sit around and bother Paco all the time about MSP Unplugged.
So speaking of MSP Unplugged, that is probably the single most reason why I asked you guys to come on today. And I am going to spend this year reaching out to all the communities that are helping each other out. You know, we are lifting each other up. We are helping each other out, and all the ones that are doing a good job and will answer my call, I'm going to try to highlight them on the show. You guys, I try to get you on first, but you guys are too busy. But we go way back, but I wanted to have this opportunity because we'd never really talked about, at least outside of your Facebook group and the people that are in the know, what was the key reason to starting MSP Unplugged, and what are the plans? So I'm going to let you guys kind of go with that. Rick, just be ready. I know Paco's going to start, but be ready.
I was going to say, Rick, you could take it on.
This is your baby, man.
No, but, you know, I think – so it's interesting, right? So what a lot of people don't know is that our event actually came first before the rebranding of our community of MSP Unplugged, right? And so just as Marvin obviously stated, so me and Marvin obviously came from a former network, Pod Nuts Network, much love to Door to Door Geek running it over there. Gave us a platform to provide our stories, our perspectives, and really just being able to give our kind of perspective and input of what our day-to-day lives would be. At the time, I was a part-time business owner running a break-fix shop while holding a full-time job as a database manager. And through these stories and journeys from that all the way down to the MSP that I run now, had the opportunity to gain a lot of people who really wanted to continue to hear those stories. Then me and my former business partner, former co-host of the Computer Repair Podcast, Jeff Halish, we decided to throw an event. And really, it was more of a something for us to just kind of give our own spin to it. And then from that evolved to this community called MSP Unplugged, really just driving that same messaging. How do we help those fast emerging MSPs, the sub $1 million MSPs, the solopreneurs, really just who are struggling or getting bad advice to say, like, you have to do these things specifically in order to succeed, which was full of baloney. And here's the reason why. And here's what we can talk about from real stories. Since then, obviously, Jeff has exited and got out of his business back in end of 2021. So was able to take the reins of this community, kind of expand out, reach out to different individuals, build a much stronger relationship with Uncle Marv, brought Rick Smith involved with MSP Unplugged, who we happen to have met through a split off of our events in one of those in DC, and building that relationship for community as well. So, but to go back to your question of not only why did we start it, but why do we continue to keep doing it? And it's really much more of the same, is really trying to find those that are in other communities and maybe feeling siloed, or maybe feeling that they just don't have an opinion or an option, or don't even know what questions to ask. We've built a community where there is no stupid question. And we're very, very not strict, but we're very hard on our community members to ensure that nobody treats anyone or makes them feel dumb or makes them feel stupid to ask any of these said questions. We have a zero tolerance in that in our community, where if we find someone's giving someone a hard time, it's a no-go for us, because we feel like if they had the courage to ask that question and they're shut down right away, it's going to stifle their growth. And really just they're going to feel like they don't belong. And that's something that I think we see too much going on in a lot of the space that are in right now in the channel. Thus, the main reason why we have our community and try to collaborate with similar like-minded community members as well.
So let me just add one caveat to that, because you won't do it, but I will. Part of this started with a conference we were at in Chicago, where a lot of larger... Well,
that's where the event started, so
true.
I can move going to that event.
but it carried through because, you know, having larger organizations on a stage claiming that we, and I'm going to say we as in solopreneurs, emerging MSPs, trunch slammers, were killing the industry. And I was one of those people that was like, okay, you just said how much you make as a company. I'm making half of that by myself. And you got eight people and I'm just one. How am I killing the industry?
Yeah.
So it was a lot of that. It was a lot of so-called premier organizations that were just dogging us. And listen, there is enough business to go around. There are businesses that need services that if they're not willing to provide it or they're not capable of providing it, we can and we will. So that's one thing. I want to keep driving that point home, only because I think people forget.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget kind of like back in 2017 or actually 2015, it was a much different time almost 10 years ago than it was now, right? Yes. I think back then, you know, if you mention, hey, I'm an MSP or I'm a IT service business. Oh, well, how many people do you have? Oh, it's just me. You were kind of looked at in a weird way. And weren't given a lot of opportunities for that. Thus, you know, starting the conversations, you know, your campaign for Man in the Van, really trying to drive home that, you know, there are opportunities available to those that want to do it right. And oftentimes can probably do it better than some of those that are $2 million MSPs who happen to just stumble to get to where they go. And I think that reasoning on that stage that you mentioned was just a cop out for their incapacity of being able to grow the right way, because they probably just didn't have those proper procedures to show the value that they had. And they were aiming for clients that just weren't for them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I said this on stage last week and Rick was in the audience for this, where I basically said, I think we're in the time for the fast emerging MSP, the sub-$1 million MSPs, the solopreneurs, the small businesses that are really trying to thrive. I think even I've heard Matt Lee over at Cyber Matt Lee and Pax 8 say that if he were to start an MSP today, he would have a significantly less headcount, overhead, et cetera, with all the technologies and items that are available to be able to compete with some of those that are going to find it a lot slower to turn as well. So I think we're in it's a much different conversation now because of the inputs and the abilities of people like some of those that have fought to explain and help those vendors and other community members understand that we are not the fly by night. We're not the pizza techs, things of that nature, to continue that front. But I think you just put up something there that Keith.
Did. And I was just going to let people know that if you're watching the video, it's up there. If you're listening, I would encourage you to go to the video because I don't want to stay on this point too long. I just wanted to get that in there. And I want to kind of pivot now to Rick, who you kind of came along. Let's see, the DC was the second or third year.
Second
year. Yeah. So you came in after, you know, all of that initial rush and kind of saw the group and subsequently, you know, joined Paco. So tell us about your, you know, beginnings with us.
Well, I grew up in the group. You know, I could not make when you guys did the first, I'd been listening for a little bit. When you guys did the first show was Toronto, the first gathering,
right? Yeah.
Toronto. I could not make that. I had a conflict. And I was so disappointed I didn't make it. And I remember being jealous when I finally met you guys, that y'all had all these conversations about stuff that had gone on and I had no clue what you were talking about. And I just remember that conversation about, I won't say where it was, but I know what you first started with, Marv, and you guys were all talking about that, the man in the van, the pizza tech. But, you know, everyone who's ever heard me talk about why I'm here, why I'm doing this, and you always hear me give credit to you guys for when I used to watch the original show, when I used to watch you guys and listen to your show, Marv, is that, you know, you guys gave me basically, it was the first community I found that really helped me realize that I wasn't in it alone, right? Like that what I'm doing made sense. And I will admit this now, the first time I ever heard the term MSP was on the show, on the Computer Repair Podcast. And then I finally got to understand what that was. Oh, that's sort of what I'm doing now. But, you know, so me, I grew up, I learned my business grew through the community, through knowing you guys, talking to you, getting advice, listening. And then, you know, when I got to DC, I didn't know a soul. I met Paco, you know, I met you, Mar. You know, I met everybody there. And I was like, wow. I remember saying this Marvin, you probably don't remember this, but I met you in the room and I was like, hey, Marvin, you know, I said, hey, I'm a fan. Cause I was, you know, I just said I was a fan. And then I was like, wow, was that really appropriate? I was, you know what I mean? It was like, you know, I had met you guys and I'd really appreciated all the knowledge that you guys were sharing. You know what I mean? It was like, wow, they're not charging for this. It's free knowledge. They're telling about the experiences, telling about, you know, how things work and how we can grow. So I always appreciated that. So when, you know, Paco and I met, we became fast friends, and, you know, we stayed in contact. And when, you know, the opportunity came and he came to me about, you know, partnering with him, I jumped at it. And it was like, you know, it was a no brainer for me. And it's just been one of those things where, I really appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity now, you know, and I remember telling Paco, dude, I'm not big. I don't know, you know, I don't know if I have what people need. He's like, you need to share your story because there are people just like you, you know, which is what happened. And so for me, it's been great to have gotten everything from you guys and now being in a position to give back. And I hope that people are, you know, learning and getting something from the experiences I have and the conversations we all have together.
All right. A great start to a great group. And I will always call you my sister group. We have separate podcasts, but we're basically from the same loincloth, if you will, and all of that.
It's just like,
okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and it's just like in the business, there's enough, it's not a con, you know, we don't consider ourselves in competition. You know, we're just, you know, doing some things and, you know, in addition to each other. And I love that the fact that we can look at it that way. And it's like, you know, it's nothing else. And it's just like how you talked about the MSP business. There's plenty of business to go around. I make this comment all the time. There's 30 MSPs within a 10-mile radius where I'm at in New Jersey. And there's still a lot more companies out there for us to do business with. And it's the same thing with, you know, talking to the audiences and sharing our experiences. It's no competition. It's just really, you know, just having the right mindset to get things done correctly,
or right,
to help the people.
So let's do just a quick shift, and I will allow Paco to do what he loves to do best, and that is to pimp the event that you mentioned earlier that kind of was the starter for all of this.
Yeah, so, you know, it's my favorite thing, it's Rick's favorite thing as well, and that's TechCon Unplugged over in greater Washington, D.C. area this year. But, yeah, TechCon Unplugged came about because – again, as Marvin mentioned, you know, it was really started as a different style of event. And what we really were trying to achieve at the time was, how do we truly meld vendor resources, educational resources, like-minded business owners, and really just diving into a way where an MSP can walk into an event and really feel like they belong and not feel like it's an event. But, you know, Taz, Michael Cooley says it best where, you know, he came to the event and it's like, you know, it's one of those annual reunions that you come together with your friends, but really it's an event that you really are going to try and drive something back home. And so, as you know, our event came off of a splinter of several events. You know, Instant House Call had their original unconvention, which was Toronto and DC. And from that event, then we kind of splintered off into our own to really just drive a message of there is true collaboration. We are truly bringing IT community together. You know, Amy Luby, who's a veteran in the space, told me, you know, I've seen a lot of events in my day, but this is one of the first events that is a true community event. And I asked her to kind of explain that because I didn't really understand what she meant at the time. And what she said was, when you walk into a room, and as you can see on the video that's playing on the screen for the website, is you can't tell who's an MSP and who's a vendor. You can't tell who's a speaker and who is someone that is maybe a technician or a business owner there. Everyone is all trying to get the same information, the camaraderie, and it's been a real great opportunity to build that rapport and relationships, which we've been very proud to have throughout those years, and really just giving a voice on both ends. It's truly a business on both sides, whether you're a vendor, whether you're an MSP, whether you're a speaker, respecting everyone's time, respecting everyone's ROI, and really making sure they can get the most out of it, of what's important to them specifically when they come to the show. So one of my favorite things that I did, with Jeff, and now I have the opportunity to collaborate with Rick and everyone in the community as well. You know, we established that content committee members, that really people in our space, to make sure that we have the finger on the pulse, so that it's not just two talking heads assuming what the industry wants, really hearing from what our community wants to drive a lot of that impact. So, but yeah, that's TechCon for me in a nutshell. I don't know if Rick wants to add anything onto it, but that's where it came from, and that's what I'm proud to have, and hopefully to keep moving forward for many years to come.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much I can add to that. I mean, that's the way it is. It's just really that I think what I look forward to the most about it is just really getting together, seeing all the people again, right? You make good friends. You know, you communicate throughout the year. You don't necessarily see each other, but you do, you know, share information or share ideas or talk, you know, but that once, at least that time of the year, we all get together. And it's really, you know, I say sometimes in the introduction to the show, it's our annual family gathering, right? Because we're like, it's like a family just getting together, and each year new people come. And it's funny, it's ironic. I spoke to an MSP today who reached out to me about the show, and he's like, wow, I didn't realize, you know, 3 years, you guys, you know, 3 years I could have done this. And a friend of mine goes every year, and he didn't say nothing to me about it until this year and invited me. So, but we loved that. I mean, like, and then they become, you know, I don't see many people who come who don't come back. You know, it's, everything is not for everyone, but I think it's great. And it's amazing when you can go someplace, right? And it's, you know, we're not huge, but you can basically go and you know everybody there, or you've seen them before, you know their name, or, you know something about them. And I just think that's great. And I love the fact that people come back, and I don't think it's because Rick and Paco are doing it, or Paco's doing it, or Uncle Marv's hosting. I just think that everyone who comes enjoys being there, you know, and enjoys everyone else who's there. So, you know, I think that's just important, and it's why I love it and why I stay a part of it.
I think I want to say two things about TechCon. One, there was a conference that I participated in high school, college, in the years after, with Junior Achievement. I attended Junior Achievement as a high schooler. I had two company programs and was fortunate enough to head to the national conference, compete for some prizes, and be a part of a group collective there for a week. This conference happened every year in August for like 50 years. And it was one of the things where if you were a part of Junior Achievement, you wanted to get to that conference. Now, as a student, it's one thing if you want to compete and win prizes, but once you graduate, you go back as a staff member. Now, there's not a lot of staff spots available. So if you get to be a staff person and you get to facilitate the kids for a week, be a part of the conference, there's 3,000 people at that conference. And 10 years I was a staff member there. And that was one of those conferences where even if you didn't talk to people for the entire year, that week you were best friends. And it didn't matter if you were what we called a pink fink, which was a group counselor, or you worked in the AV department, or you worked in the events department or contest. At the end of the day, staff was together talking about the experiences, helping each other out. And so that conference, my last attended meeting was 1990, I think 95 or 96 was my last year going there. So we had a reunion about 2 years ago, and like 60 people showed up. We're doing it again this year, and there is tons of excitement. I know that you guys don't have a clue what I'm talking about in terms of that conference, but the excitement level of people to get back to there after 30 years is kind of what I see with TechCon, with people wanting to go back year after year. That's the type of atmosphere. The second point I want to make is I've talked to two people in the last week. We've ended up talking about vendor fatigue and some of these conferences, and are they too big or are they not hitting the right spot, and people feel like I'm paying a lot of money to go and not really getting much out of it. You can't say that about TechCon. You're going to get your money's worth out of it. You're going to get a plus-plus meal and be taken care of. The second part of it, like you mentioned, Paco, looking at the videos, you can't tell who's who. And that's because this conference, more than any other that I can think of, and I don't care who's the sponsors, I don't care who the big vendors are, the ones I use, the ones I don't, this conference, more than any other, shows a true partnership between the techs, the business owners, and the vendors. We are there to help each other out and stand side by side. And if we have problems, we go to those vendors and they sit and chat with us like we're peers and not like right. we're a price tag of how many endpoints do you have so I can see if I can work with you. That doesn't happen at TechCon.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit it. The best way to say is that this event is truly a labor of love, and it's really a culmination of everyone helping. You know, you have been gracious enough to MC our event, now going on our third year, I believe. You know, we have this amazing content committee who are giving their time to help provide their perspective, because each one of them represents a specific size business. There are industry influencers that are really taking the time and sharing their input, sharing their expertise. People like Rob Ray, people like Juan Fernandez, you know, and then down to like the vendor friends, you know, the people over at ThreatLocker, you know, have sponsored every year without fail, no question, and just have been amazing partners to the organization for MSP Unplugged. And so, whether it's the MSPs, the community, speakers, everyone all around really make this event their own. And I think, you know, even you and I had this conversation where you're like, well, I'm not associated with the event. Like, you know, that's Paco and Rick. That's not me. But in reality, I think that it's all of our events. Right. And that's kind of what I shared with you was, you know, as much as you pour in, you know, you don't just MC, you do help keep the time going. You keep track. If maybe something's going on, you have the aptitude to say, hey, something's not right. And you kind of chase after it. And I think everyone always does that, whether they're an attendee or a sponsor. We always get that outpour of, hey, can I help out? Hey, can I whatever? It's just something that is a true culmination of the community all just helping one another, not only for the event, but actually the event itself.
Yeah, I wanted to highlight, to kind of follow up on that. You know, we talk about, you know, vendors, yes, even attendees. And, you know, there's also that those speakers who come, and I have to say this because it's important, they come on their own dime. People come, you know, and they come, they speak, they give their time, they share their expertise, and they do that, you know, out of love, right? They do that out of love and wanting to give back to the community as well. And that's something that we should all appreciate. You know, I don't know if people realize that, but, and it means a lot when they, you know, someone can come. You know, last year we had a bunch of people drop in, you know, Tahir Hamid from MSP camp, Marty,
who was Marty Stockman?
Yeah. Marty Stockman. I'm sorry.
Alex Farley,
you know, there was a list of people, and I'm sorry if anyone's listening and I didn't give you, it's just that right now I just can't think of it. But I, you know, those things matter, and it tells you as well what they think and how they feel about the community and the people, because again, they're doing this on their own dime, and they come in, they give their time, their expertise, and they, you know, for the most part, they hang out with us, have a good time. And this is where you don't know. This goes back to that same point we're talking about not knowing who's who and what they do or what they sell, because some of them have nothing to give you but knowledge, and, you know, and others, you know, of course, you know, are there with their products, but you don't get that sense of pressure or just that typical conference stuff. And Paco and I just came from one where every 5 minutes somebody's grabbing you to scan your badge. And, you know, and it, you just don't necessarily, you know, get that. I mean, again, I don't want to say we do always want to give love to the vendors. And if they have a product that you can use, you definitely should be talking to them and paying attention. But I just, you know, I didn't realize until I got involved in this what, you know, all of that entailed. And it wasn't just, you know, at that time, Paco, John, and Jeff, it wasn't just them doing it. It was a community of people helping out, doing things, and all the people who came to volunteer. So I just think that that's a very big distinction we want to make about what we do there or what's done there, is it really is a community effort.
Yep. I'm going to throw a curveball at you, Paco.
Okay.
Of all the conferences that we've done through all these iterations, what has been, in your mind, the most memorable moment from these
out
conferences?
Of all of them?
Yeah.
That we can talk about on the air?
Listen, there's no rating on this show. Talk about it.
I think the most memorable – so there's two that come to mind. I think one was the fact of it was five of us getting together, driving up to Canada to get to Toronto. And you had John Dubinsky driving his Jeep Wrangler, Marvin in the front seat. It was me, Jeff, and Martin Obando. Martin, if you ever are listening to this, shout out to you. I know we haven't talked in a while, but – all of us, basically two giant guys and Jeff swished in the middle and listening to Flo Rida as we were riding up to the Canada border in almost 13 hours of traffic. It was that was probably one of the standout of all of us hanging out on that car trip and that car ride. The other memorable thing for me, I think it was probably the first TechCon in Grand Rapids. Okay. And being able to walk into a room and seeing all of our peers get together for a show that we just did as in our inaugural event. We didn't know how this thing was going to turn out. We had a great showing. And I remember walking into the vendor hall before everybody kind of came in, but it was all set up to think, man, this is really happening. This is a thing that hopefully will grow a life of its own, which it did during some crazy roller coasters of like COVID and, you know, people exiting and joining new people, switching cities. It's definitely been one of those that probably make the most of a memorable. Those two would probably be the equal to myself as far as that car ride over to the unconvention and the first TechCon.
Yeah, you're right. We probably can't say everything that happened during that car ride, but it was interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, Rick, you've been able to be on both sides, both an attendee and an organizer, but I'm going to ask you the same question. What has been your most memorable moment that you can think of all the years?
I think, let's see. Well, the first one, I'm going to say it. It was meeting you guys, and that was in D.C., right? When we went to D.C., it was meeting you guys. And I was amazed. It was some things that amazed me. Paco, you'll remember this. I thought you and Cristobal were fast friends, like that guys knew each other forever. They just met. You know what I mean? They met like five minutes before I met them.
Well, Chris, if you're listening to this, man, I still don't understand how you did what you did in D.C. that night with him.
Okay, that's one of those that you can't talk about. But anyway.
No, I know.
But I think that was just meeting you guys for the first time, actually you can see your face over the video, but actually meeting, shaking hands, talking to you guys, that was probably the most memorable thing for me. And I can remember, it's funny how I remember each one of you, how I met you. Cause Paco and I met in the bar and we, from there we became fast friends, you know. And Marva, as I told you, I remember meeting you when you were going into, it was one of the rooms we had at WeWorks, right? That was WeWorks when we were in DC.
I don't know if it was called WeWork. It was a different.
It was a co-working space, but it was called the Illuminati, the Manhattan, something like that. But basically, it's closed now.
Illuminati, the Manhattan.
it was like a mobster type situation, or like some mystery, whatever. But it's closed now. When I talked to Matt, but yeah, it was a co-working space.
Yeah, it's funny because I remember meeting so many people. I remember I met Ron. Ron Cervantes. I'm sorry. I don't know why. Ron, I'm sorry about that. And it's just funny because he and I sat next to each other, and it was his first event. It was my first event. So I remember those things. You know, I remember meeting all these people, and, you know, like, it is funny now. Every year I see these, you know, these same folks. We come back together and we talk, you know, and we meet up and we talk. And I think probably the next standout for me was the first TechCon that I think about that I did. And I was a part of as an organizer was in Chicago, which was actually the second TechCon in Chicago. And just then on that side, realizing all the work that goes into this, because it's so easy. And I say this all the time. It's so easy when you're on the outside looking in to say, oh, they should have just done this. They should have just done this. Why didn't they do this? Or they could have done that. And then when you're a part of it, it is just like, wow. And that's why I say I'll never criticize organizers again for anything, because it is a lot of work. But I think for me at that event, you know, my kids were involved in it, which was special for me. You know, all three of them did something to help us out. But I guess what stands out the most is being able contract. After that first night when we first got through it to go to that
Saturday night social.
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. No,
I'm just thinking about just being able to be like, wow, day one is over, and actually to have a drink and have another drink and another drink. I was like, wow, so much work. But, you know, it's all just been fun. And, you know, we had a good time last year. I'm sure we're going to have an even better time this year coming. But there are plenty of memories.
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about the Saturday evening right before we were going to the
I don't know if we should talk about that or not.
Good times.
That was one where we had a lot of we have the shot once we realized everything was
I'll share it because everyone's okay. Probably like, oh, you can't just say that. So what ended up happening was there was a bit of a snafu with our planning of our Saturday night social. And so it turns out that the contract for the evening was not signed. So as everyone was walking over to the venue, which was across the street, we didn't know if we actually had the venue reserved. So luckily enough, I had a relationship with that organizer from the year prior, knew we were good for it and reserved it for us at the time. So, but it was to a point where me and Rick literally had walked and did a, I thought you did it. No, I thought you did it. And wait, I thought this one did it. Nope. And so it was a mad frantic a stretch for 15 minutes to try and figure it out. And it all worked out in the end. But it was one of those where that's why we need an event planner, and that's why we have it. So
yeah, that was that. That, my friend, was the scariest thing ever. And it was like one of those things where it's okay, I guess we're going to be coming out of the pocket with credit cards just to pay for this, because we told everyone to meet us over there. And then that was just funny. And it was three of us. It was Paco, myself, and my daughter Taylor, who was helping out. And each one of us thought the other one had signed that contract. And it was just hilarious how that happened. And you talk about dropping bricks before, because I was nervous.
You guys don't remember this or didn't know it, but I was walking behind you thinking, I'm going to have to pull out a card and help these brothers out.
We'd have really been a community that night.
Right.
I'm like, I'm going to have to call the wife and say, honey,
we got a situation.
Don't mind the charge. Yeah, those were good times. Good times. So, folks, if you haven't figured it out yet, TechCon Unplugged is a place to be if you want to have a true community. Now, I'm not going to say that it's the only community. Listen, go into some of these other events. You're going to have fun. Some of these events are just a big old party. We party, but we learn and we hang out and we have fun and we are friends for life.
Absolutely.
Real good time.
All right. So I had some other questions to ask, but we're going to run over. And I want to be respectful of your time. And I want to give you guys a chance to get ready for Florida Man or Random Question. Paco, I know, is used to this. Rick, you may not have even remembered that this is what I do on my show. So I'm going to ask you, will you be sharing a Florida Man challenge story or will you be answering a random question?
I'll do a question.
And Paco?
I was unable to find something that I felt could compete with Florida Man, so I'm going to have to go with a random question as well. Because I searched high and low to see if anything crazy around here was happening, and nothing that is not noteworthy or regular to the Chicagoland area.
You know, tonight would have been a good time to do that because the stories today, not so great. So let me at least share the Florida Man story you would have been going up against. Florida man accused of shooting roommate 10 times during an argument about cats.
About cats?
Terrible.
Yes, cats. Glenn White was arrested and charged with aggravated battery with a deadly weapon after he allegedly shot his roommate 10 times during an argument over cats. Glenn White is 59. And deputies responded to the home in reference to a shooting and found a woman inside with multiple gunshot wounds on her body. The woman told deputies at the time, that White was the person who shot her, according to the affidavit. He was detained, and deputies learned that the shooting stemmed from an argument the two were having in the days leading up to the event. White was recently evicted from his home, and the woman allowed him to stay at her house. White moved in with his three cats and brought a cat home every day after that for a total of six cats. The woman said she wanted the cats to live outside instead of inside, and she got tired of having all the cats. And White allowed her to go inside his room to look for the cats, and that's when he made his way into the area, stood in front of the door frame, and began to shoot her.
Oh, my God.
Florida man.
What in the haberdashery and heba-gold is happening around these parts?
So I'm trying to figure out how she got shot 10 times and is still alive.
You know, I was small room. You said she was going to told the cops that he shot her.
Right, 10 times?
Anyway. Yep. So it doesn't say what type of gun it was, but here it is. They found 40-millimeter casings in the room, plus a black and silver Smith & Wesson SD-40 firearm on top of the dresser.
Also, he was using a cannon.
So that is the story you would have gone up tonight, gents. Had a chance.
Yeah, no.
Couldn't beat that. Couldn't beat that.
No siree, Bob.
All right. So let's head over to the random question and see what we got. So pressing start to begin. And who wants to go first?
Oh, I think Mr. Smith has been
okay.
riding shotgun for a while. Let's go ahead and have him put in the hot seat.
All right, Rick, here's your question. This is an easy question. What is something that you would never, ever wear?
A dress. That was easy. Can I get away with that?
Yeah, you can get away with that. Oh, Paco, I don't know if you're going to like this one. Oh, damn. How healthy is your diet?
So funny enough that you say that. As of Monday, I've actually stopped my – so this is the thing, Marv. I've been traveling the last 3 weeks.
Okay.
So I've been to Mexico for my future sister-in-law's wedding. I was in Orlando for exchange, meeting with the likes of Corey Kirkendall, Wayne Hunter, all those guys over there. And then I was in Vegas last week with plenty of our good buddies, Juan Fernandez, Nancy Herenquez, all the Channel Partners crew, the Super Ops crew. I was with Rick, our videographer, which is a very close friend of mine, and we were throwing them back. So as of Monday, I have stopped no sugar, no alcohol, and I began my no meat diet again that I did in January to try and get myself back into the right shape. So that's where I'm at right now.
All right. Okay. Let's see. So when's the next conference you're going to?
Nashville, which will be the MSP Initiatives Initiative Community
Minds. Next month, April.
April 17th and 18th, I believe.
All right. I thought about going to that one, but I'll be doing one the week before. So I don't do conferences back to back anymore.
That'll be the next event. That'll be next month. All right. And it's for free event. So should be good. Good time for those that haven't checked it out yet.
All right. And in response to my story, Mike seems to throw a comment in there. 50 Cent only took 9 shots.
Oh, Mike.
All right. Paco LeBron, Rick Smith from MSP Unplugged, one of the premier communities for solo and nimble MSPs. You happy I said that, Rick?
Yes. Yes. Nimble.
Boutique.
That's, I like that one.
It's a word of the week, right? A title of week, a new word.
We'll figure it out. New titles for all of us years to go. Speaking of, I got to talk to you guys afterwards about something I'm doing later this year. So see if we can get you guys involved with that. But that's going to do it for this week's show, everyone. Thank you for hanging out. We had a healthy viewing audience tonight, probably a huge result of the MSP Unplugged community hopping on. Thank you guys for watching, sharing a little bit of history about how MSP Unplugged got its origins. Flo Rida.
Flo Rida.
I think I can say that was probably the best experience Jeff Hallish could have ever had.
Oh man. That was definitely one of those trips that you just can't replicate that.
You cannot.
And the funny thing I'm still trying to think about, all of you guys were in different places, and you ended up one place to drive 13 hours together.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I forget who initiated it, but it was somehow decided that we should all meet in Michigan. And I believe it started with the three amigos. I think it was, Paco, Jeff, and John, because you guys were all pretty close in area. And Obando was,
in Washington, I think.
Way out west, Oregon.
Yeah,
it was Oregon, right?
Oregon, yeah. I was going to say Oklahoma, but Oregon. Yeah.
No, he's way out there, Oregon. And, I'm down here in Florida. And I don't know how it came to be that we all got to talking where I was just going to fly straight into Toronto. And I don't know if it was Dubinsky or somebody that said, no, B, come on, we'll all ride up together. And we all decided to fly into Grand Rapids.
No, we met at Jeff's.
Oh, yeah, on the other side.
Yeah. So we met at Jeff's. Maybe you flew into Grand Rapids and you probably came with Jeff or with John driving over.
I don't remember.
Or you were in Detroit. So because the idea was Jeff was in Detroit, so it was only X amount of hours to Canada, to Toronto, right, driving up. So I drove to Jeff's house. John drove to Jeff's house. I think he picked up either Obando or you or both from the airport. No,
I flew into Detroit because I had one of my JA friends meet me. And
right, we picked you up. I remember this now. We went and picked him up. I think we had some dinner or something like that around the area. Obando came in, flew into Detroit. We grabbed him, and then we drove up to Toronto.
Yep. And, it was only X number of hours, which – basically tripled because we got stuck
in traffic.
So that was fun. And the rule was the co-pilot commanded the radio.
Yeah.
And you guys regretted that decision the entire trip. Yep.
Obando was asleep in the side. Jeff was just miserable in the middle. It was a great time.
Good times. All right. So remember, TechCon Unplugged, September 12th to the 14th. Tickets are available. So if you are so inclined after tonight that you want to go and be a part of that, go get your ticket and sign up. It will be a great event. What's the name of that hotel we're at this year?
The Hotel at Arundel Preserve. And there'll be plenty more updates here coming up by the end of next week. We should hopefully have our full set agenda, what we are going to be announcing of. Maybe you might want to come in early on Thursday. There might be a super situation going on that day. And what our Saturday night social will be about. And so plenty more. It's going to be an exciting time. Again, our fifth annual event. And we're going to try and pull all the stops.
And if you register now, you get still on the website an early bird discount, $50 off the ticket price. So get your ticket, get caught up.
Take advantage.
Yep. All right. That's going to do it, folks, for this week. Thank you for hanging out and checking out the IT Business Podcast. Thank you to Paco and Rick for hanging out and sharing thoughts about community. And let's see. You know what? I don't know if I'm here or not next week. I don't have a guest planned. I believe that was going to be my week off. I will let you guys know. But check out the IT Business Podcast on all the podcatchers. I do have audio shows that are coming out. We just had the two from Rayanne. I have at least one more coming out tomorrow, and we'll have those shows. So check out any of the socials, YouTube, LinkedIn, the Facebook, idbusinesspodcast.com. And of course, my buddies Paco and Rick have their podcast, MSP Unplugged. Check them out. Tech Tuesday and Resource Thursday. Did I get that right?
Yep.
All right. So good shows and good help for the community. That's going to do it, folks. We will see you next time. Same bat place, same bat channel. I don't know. Did I say black?
Oh my God. You sure did.
I was like, was that on purpose?
This is Tacos signing out.
Peace.